In spite of my years of formal education and my experiences, words are totally inadequate to express my sincere and deep appreciation, the joy, delight, and the honor it is for me to be associated with you this weekend. And I mean that very sincerely. In fact, I made a big decision in the motel room last night. I told God, when I die, if I don't go to heaven, I want to come to Greens Bayou. That's right. Very true. Very true. Beautiful, wonderful people. I have the joy of meeting your good pastor. He has a charming personality, has a very beautiful, lovely wife, has a lovely family. He has education, training, enthusiasm. He has hair. You know, really got a lot of things going for him. Appreciate so very much Danny and Brenda Hemry for planning and executing this retreat that we had. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And it's so good to see Brother Graham again. God bless his heart. Where is Sister Graham? Where is Sister Graham? Oh, right there. God bless your heart. So good to see you again. I had never realized before that Brother Graham was so much older than you. This is the first time. But it just dawned on me right now. How about that? Praise God. And that wonderful, hilarious crowd we had at the banquet last night. I'm telling you, where is Sister Bowden? Where is Sister Bowden? Is she here this morning? Oh, praise God. There's my sweetheart back there at the banquet last night. So good to see you. Now, there were three different people told me the same story at the banquet last night. They said, if you're bald back here, you're a lover. If you're bald here, you're a thinker. And if you're bald all over, then you just think you're a lover. I think Sister Bowden, they were trying to get a message across to me. I don't know. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I'm not going to tell you who these three people are and their names, but one of them is seated over here to my left, and she's wearing a green dress. I won't tell you what her name is at all. But three people told me that story last night. Joe, you brought me the greatest news before we came out here this morning. You told the pastor we're not down in attendance this morning. I appreciate that. That's the best news I've heard. Thank you very, very much. Fellow went to a place to speak one time, and he turned to the pastor and asked, did you announce I was coming? He said, no, but looks like they found out anyway. So whenever they have fewer people when I'm there than they do when I'm not there, I feel responsible. And Joe, I really appreciate you bringing that good news. And this choir, didn't they do a beautiful job? Man alive, praise God. And I don't know whether they arranged that song for just today or not, but they did a beautiful job. I thought one time there the hair was going to stand up on my head. Well, at least the fellows sit up and take notice. This wonderful solo we had here by this gentleman, these musicians, thank God. What a church. What a church. What a fine group of people. What a beautiful building. I told that to Brother Dave Rose as he took me around to the pastor's office. What a beautiful building. Thank God for it. A beautiful location. I know buildings are not everything. They are important, but they're not everything. An unlettered woman came to work one Monday morning after being in a revival meeting over the weekend and shouting, and a lady she worked for told her, you don't have to be so loud with the religion. Solomon built the temple without the sound of a hammer. She said, I know that. We ain't building yet. We're just blasting now. So thank God for blasting and building experiences. There's a gentleman in this crowd that's worried me ever since I've been on the platform. I know it can't be, but I don't know that any two men have ever looked any more alike in life. He looks like Iacocca. Is Iacocca here this morning? President of Chrysler Corporation. Fellow, you look so much like him. I thought you was him as sure as the world. God bless you. They're all looking around at the other guy. Well, it's been my time, my season, to run into people with peculiar names. I was in Hobbs, New Mexico the other Sunday. You see, I speak in a different church about every Sunday. Next Sunday, I'll be in Kansas City. And so I speak in a different church about every Sunday. You don't care anything about that. I have to keep moving. It's on account of my health. People get sick and tired of me. But I was in Hobbs, New Mexico. The fellow came around and said, my name is James Ray. I said, not James Earl Ray. He said, yeah, James Earl Ray, the alleged assassin of Martin Luther King. I hadn't much more than picked myself up off the floor till another fellow came around and said, my name is Jim Jones. I thought, dear God, the next one's going to be Al Capone, as sure as the world. I was down in Little Rock and invited down there to speak at a couple's retreat, and the fellow who I dealt with about the retreat knew my flight number and plans and the whole bit, but he wasn't there, and I went on down to the luggage area. He's down there. He wasn't there either. Nothing to worry about. He'll be here after a while. I sat down. Everybody got their luggage and left. Here a couple came by and went on down there and looked around, turned around and came back. I don't know why I stood up, but I stood up. And this guy walked up and said, my name is Jack Spratt. I said, yeah, sure, of course. Mine's Methuselah Alexander Pope the Great. His wife said, that's really his name. I said, okay then, my name is George Braslin. We got together. But it's such a wonderful joy to be here this morning. God bless you, Bundy. I'll make a very short commercial. I'm glad to see you got up on time to be here this morning. Served as usher. Really nice. You look good. Why didn't you look that good yesterday morning when they went over and pulled you out of the bed and brought you over to the retreat? All right. All right. Very short commercial, if you don't mind. Here's a little album. I was invited to speak in a high school for five consecutive mornings. They taped them. We pressed them in this little album we called George Brazel with his favorites. Now, my favorite group of people are teenagers. Believe me, did I have a teenager say amen? Oh, you said amen anyway. Okay, good. But my favorite crowd are teenagers. Now, little children, I love them, but let somebody else minute. Old people, I love them, and I have a little more respect for them as years, days come and go. But those boisterous, loud, rude, crude, clumsy, awkward, darling, precious, beautiful, sweet teenagers, that's my crowd. I really do love them. In fact, I love them so much, I wish I could wake up with a pimple some morning. Now, that's really, really going way out. I'm like Will Rogers, who said he never met a man he didn't like. Or was that Liz Taylor? I'm pretty sure one of them said that. I don't think Liz Taylor wants to get married so much. She just loves the cake. If I had my choice, I'd speak to teenagers all the time. So I was with 1,000 teenagers in this high school. Some people think you can't pray in a public school. You most certainly can. I pray in every public school I speak in, and there'll be praying in public schools as long as I'm teaching in one. I passed out a final examination the other day, and one old boy looked it over, and he started praying out loud. He said, God, help us. This is a lot of fun. It sells for $7. I hope you'll get a copy. I have a 84-year-old hunting buddy friend in Fort Worth, Texas, said, George, I listen to that album every morning. It gets me started. Very good, very good, very complimentary. They sell for $7. They are in cassette for $5. $3 on 8-track. I got a Kmart special. $3 for the 8-tracks. I hope you'll get one. I'll guarantee you they'll lift you. I'll guarantee it. My address is on there. If he doesn't give you a lift, write me. Say, George, that album is the pits. I'll send your money back to you. I'll guarantee he'll give you a lift. Don't worry about me getting rich selling albums like Jimmy Swaggart, the Imperials, and other people. All the money is invested in young people's lives. I don't say this to boast, but we had 28 kids in college last year. We gave them scholarships from $50 to $500 from the sale of these albums. Get one, will you please? Please get one. It'll bless you and it'll help somebody else. But this is not for sale at any price. I want to give it to the most intelligent, athletic, brilliant, suave, debonair young man here this morning. Would you stand up wherever he is? Most athletic, brilliant. Come on down here. As they say in TV language, come on down. That's the first time that ever happened to me. Beautiful, beautiful. I want a bowl of that chili, too. Like that old boy advertising that Wolf brand chili. He says, neighbor, how long has it been since you had a bowl of Wolf brand chili? Well, that's too long. I have another one here. I call it One Night at the Banquet. I don't claim that I'm necessarily qualified to speak to all the people I'm invited to, but I have one standard rule. As long as they invite me, feed me, and pay me, I'll say something. I went out to Abilene to speak to the Tri-District Chiropractic Association. I thought, what am I going to tell this bunch of bone crushers? I thought I'd start out by saying my family is chiropractically oriented. We feel like if we eat right, rest right, exercise right, and see our chiropractor on a regular basis, we'll stay in good health. Yeah. Anything I said was all right after that. This is part of a banquet address I gave to the Texas Classroom Teachers Association, downtown Dallas, a singles banquet and a junior high school senior banquet. It's a lot of fun. I never do anything that I don't have fun. You know, I emceed a funeral not long ago, and we had a lot of fun. We really did. We laughed, cried, shouted. We had a lot of fun. I want them to laugh at my funeral, not because I'm gone. Stop saying amen over here, would you? Until it's time to say amen. But I want to give this one away. Same price. $7, $5 on cassette, $3 for the 8-track. Please get one. I beg you to. It's going for very, very good. Not to help me, but help somebody else and help you. I want to give it to the lady in the audience who wants to be the next one in this crowd to get married. Would you stand up, please? Stand up. Where is the lady? Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. She's getting a hug. Come on down. Come on. What's her name? Myrtle. Come on down. You stood up. Come on. We're waiting for you. Hey, let her out. That's it. Let her out. The guy that gave her a hug, help her up, would you? Help her up. Come on. That's it. Come on. There she comes. God bless you. Myrtle, you may not know it, but 50% of the people who got married in 85 were women. We're not exactly sure the other 50% were men, but... If you didn't hear her, she said, I get in enough trouble by myself. I don't need anybody to help me to get in more trouble. Well, you stood up, Myrtle. You got to help. People never cease to amaze me. You're wonderful. God bless you. You met my sweet old over here, Sister Bowden? Well, y'all try to get together, will you? Maybe two of you can handle one man. Open your Bibles to the 18th chapter of Dr. Luke's writing. If you don't mind. Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's in the New Testament. I want to begin, and I'll read out of the King James Version. A lot of versions around. I'll begin reading at the 9th verse. I'll read out of the King James Version. The 9th verse, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I want to ask you a simple question. Can you be righteous and despise people? No. Everybody say no. That gives me a good standing there. There's no way in the world you can despise people and love God and be righteous, because we are God's creation. Jesus said it. He said, if you can't love me whom you have seen, how can you love my Father whom you haven't seen? How can you love God whom you haven't seen and can't love God's people? Hey, you need to get straightened out. If you think that you love God and you hate people, you're on the wrong track. That's impossible. It's not only difficult, it's impossible. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Well, hoopie do. Are the oaths the only things you can do that are wrong? Say no again, will you? Oh, that's right. You think I'm preaching a negative sermon tonight, this morning, aren't you? No, that's his list. He said there are three things here I don't do. If I gave him my list, he might be guilty of quite a few things. Those at the retreat, remember I gave you a long list of things we didn't do years ago? Because we thought it was wrong. I fast twice in the week now. That's all right, isn't it? Religiously or not, give the old bod a rest every once in a while. Most people eat too much. Anyway, I fast twice a week. I told him at the retreat, one fellow let himself go, got this big belly on. He asked his wife one day, "Have you seen my belt around the house?" She said, "No. Did you put it around the house?" My wife is always on my case. She said, "George, why don't you act your age?" I say, "I have never been this age before. Let me go through it two or three times and maybe I'll know how I'm supposed to act. Isn't that right? I've never been this age before. Now, next year will be another problem. I'll be a different age. And I don't go around telling people my age. Not that I'm ashamed of it. I don't mean that at all. If they ask me, I tell them. And if they say you're 52, I say, yeah, about that. They say you're 100, more or less, you know. But I don't go around telling people, why do I do that? If I told people my age, you know what they're going to do? Stereotype me into a certain kind of behavior of someone they know that that's age and they think I'm supposed to act like them, their grandpa, their pa, their great-grandpa. I'm not supposed to act like anybody else in this world. I'm supposed to act like George Brazel. Come on, give me a hand. There you are. Thank you very, very much. That's the truth. Whatever age you are, I don't want to be stereotyped into a certain kind of behavior. Not at all, because I'm not supposed to act like anybody else. Fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. Now, that's all right, isn't it, Pastor? To give, hey, Pastor, isn't that all right? Give tithes. He's worried. He's, oh, God, help him to get started, you know. I'll get going here in a minute. Tithes of all I possess. Now, some people say you preach that because you're a preacher. I do not preach that because I'm a preacher. I preach that because it's in God's Word. Just like I preach justification by faith, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, His resurrection, His ascension, His return, divine healing through the atonement. I preach those things because it's in God's Word, and I preach tithing and giving because it's in God's Word. And you're not going to talk me out of it. I've been doing that ever since I was a teenager. That first full-time job I had paid me a fabulous amount of money, $1.50 a day. And that wasn't 4 hours in the morning with a coffee break and 4 hours in the afternoon with a Coke break. It was from can to can't. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There you are. When it gets light enough, you can go to work, and gets so dark, you can't work any longer. That was a tall can in the summertime. I went to church that first Sunday morning after working 6 days. I'd made $9. And I dropped $1 in the offering plate. 90 cents tithes and 10 cents offering. Oh, I was proud to do it. And I've kept that practice up ever since. Amen. My CPA told me, "George, you give away too much money. You have more deductions for gifts than anybody I do income tax for." I will agree that maybe the second statement is true, but I resent and I denounce the first statement. I have never given too much money away in my life. You can't give too much to God. You give God a spoonful, He'll give back to you with a cupful. You give to God with a cupful, He'll give back to you with a bowlful. You give to God a bowlful, He'll give back to you a bucketful. You move up to bucket, He'll move up to barrel. You move up to barrel, He'll move up to truckload. You move up to truckload, He'll move up to a trainload. You give more to God, this book said, give and it shall be given unto you. Some people say, give without expecting to receive. That's not scriptural, my friend. The Bible said, give and it will be given unto you. I give expecting to receive. Amen. You give a smile, you'll get smiles back. Smiles is the longest word in the English vocabulary. It's a mile between the two S's. You don't catch on, print it there on the little pad there. It's a mile between the two S's. Turn to somebody and smile right now, will you? Just give them a big smile. See if you don't get one back. Amen. Some of you sour pussies, it might break the enamel on your face, but try it one time. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's what God's Word said. So I tithe. Some people say, if I made a lot of money, I'd give a little money. a lot of money. If you don't give a little money when you make a little money, you wouldn't give a lot of money when you make a lot of money. That's right. Well, we better go on here. The publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Before everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, neither humbled himself shall be exalted. My message this morning is, what do you say after you say, I am? A few years ago, there appeared a paperback in the bookstores titled, What Do You Say If You Say Hello? And the similarity between that and my message is purely coincidental this morning. What you say after you say, I am, may be one of the most revealing and far-reaching things about you. It's not only that we tend to evaluate others, but we tend to evaluate ourselves, what we say after we say, I am. Let's try a few. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm furious. I'm shy. I am discouraged. I am bored. The spring semester after fall semester, I had some students that registered for another one of my classes, and we came back for spring semester. I pulled them as I called the roll. What did you do during the Christmas holidays? One of them I definitely remember, little Miss Pruitt. I said, what did you do, Miss Pruitt, during the holidays? She said, I was bored. I got my high school chemistry book out to see if I could still work some of the problems. Friends, she was bored. I am too old. I am too young. I hear that a lot. I am too old. I am too old. You're never too old. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Praise God. You're too old. I was in University of Oklahoma with a woman so old she could hardly get up and down the steps writing a history book about education in Oklahoma. I've had women in my classes, men in my classes, 48, 50 years of age, starting to college. Right down here at the University of Texas in Austin, after mother had raised her kids, got them all educated, married off, wanted to go to school all of her life, 48 years of age, enrolled in the University of Texas against the advice of the head of the department. She graduated in 3 years, second highest in the class. Praise God. Little woman at 65 years of age decided she wanted to learn how to play the piano, started taking piano lessons. 65 years, she didn't turn out to be a Paderewski, but she could play for prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Have a piano organ teacher friend in Abilene, Texas. She had a husband-wife team. One of them wanted to take piano lessons. One of them wanted to take organ lessons. And she hadn't taught them but 2 years until the old gentleman could play 100 different tunes on the organ and didn't know one late note from the other when he started out. And if you didn't believe he could do it, he'd show you. You're never too old. Amen.
I'm married. I'm single. I'm in college. I'm a Democrat.
I'm a Republican.
I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying politics. When the Democrats had the convention out in San Francisco, I felt like when I learned one of the planks they put in the platform, they had it in the right place. Out there where those old little darlings are, you know, with a limp wrist. And the restroom were marked his, hers, and who knows. You remember when President Carter and President Brezhnev were together and Brezhnev stumbled and fell and President Carter picked him up? Somebody said that had been Lyndon B. Johnson had picked him up by his ears. Been Gerald Ford had fallen down with him. Been Richard Nixon, he denied he fell in the first place. Been Ted Kennedy, he waited the following day before he told anybody about it. I'm a senior, I'm a musician, I'm a singer, I'm a plumber. I'm true to my word. One fellow told me that one time. I found out after a little business deal, his word, he said, my word is my bond. I found out his bond was non-negotiable. You tell your child you're going to punish them, punish them. You tell your wife you're going to get even with her, get even with her. You tell your husband you'll be sorry for this, make him sorry for it. Absolutely, don't lie about it. Be honest, be sincere about it. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. I'm a preacher. Now, that'll get you some excitement sometime, won't it? I was at Anchorage, Alaska, at the airport, and the plane I was going to was coming in and had an oil leak, and I certainly wanted them to get that thing fixed before we got in there. And we hung around there until the airport was packed and jammed full. And I saw a young couple. I changed my seating position several times, and they walked around a little bit and had a badge, a Baja. And, I saw their big badge, a Baja, and I thought they were advertising some sort of chicken feed. So I met them one time, and I said, a Baja to you, too. You know, more chicken feed to you. I got to talking to them, and I found out that wasn't chicken feed they're advertising. That was their prophet's name. We were standing in line, crowded, real crowded. Well, jammed up, you know, shoulder to shoulder. And that's when I got to talking to them. I said, what does that stand for? Chicken feed? They said, no, that's our prophet. Oh, is that right? And his name is Abaha. Yeah, yeah. I said, we're spreading all over the world. Is that right? I said, well, what do y'all think about the return of Jesus Christ? Oh, they said Abaha was him. I said, it was? They said, yeah. I said, Lord, have mercy. I was planning on going back with him when he came back. And here I missed it. I said, when did he come? They said, 1,400 years ago. I said, that's why I missed it. Amen. He came back and left and didn't leave me. All right. And we got to talking about the Lord, the Bible, and it was crowded to begin with. But, friend, it wasn't crowded very long. People got away from us like we were spreading a bubonic plague. We had plenty of room. I'm a teacher. I'm a cook. I'm a pilot. I'm a drug addict. I'm a runaway. A little girl called me from North Carolina and said, Uncle George, I'm a runaway. If you want to call me with a title I really like, call me Uncle George, would you? You know, when God speaks to me, he doesn't call me Dr. Brazel. He didn't call me Professor Brazel. He didn't call me Reverend Brazel. He didn't call me Brother Brazel. He didn't even say Mr. Brazel. He just says, George, I know who he's talking to. Make no mistake about it. I really love to be called Uncle George. I really do. I'm a runaway. She called me and said, Uncle George, I am a runaway. I am hungry. I am broke. I am unemployed. I am without a place to stay. I contacted somebody and sent some money back there. And just as a little investment in her life, I went back there some months later and I asked, how is she? Oh, she's back home, back at church, back living for God. I wouldn't say that turned her life around, but at least it let her know somebody cares. Somebody cares. The telephone jingled late one night, and the female voice on the other end of the line, I recognized as soon as it was. She said, this is Dinky. I said, oh, yes, yes, as soon as you said hello, I knew who it was. Can I come to see you? I said, certainly, come right on. She said, are you sure? I said, I am positive. Come right on. She said, there's no one but Tammy and me. Tammy was a little five-year-old girl, and I thought, you know, I have the gift of suspicion. I don't know about any gifts you have, but my number one is the gift of suspicion. And when she said, it's Tammy and me, I wonder, where's Clay? So she said, are you sure? So I said, it's all right. Where are you? She described her place, and I knew where she was. Public telephone. I said, you come right on. My wife and I got up. We figured about the time it'd take her to get there. And so we got up to receive them. When they drove up, we met them at the door, brought them in, visited for a little while. I said, well, we got to get your things in. So we went out to the car, and they were not hanging in there. They were not stacked in there. They were thrown in there. My gift of suspicion began to act up a little bit more. That told me they left in a hurry. I don't know how long they stayed with us. That's unimportant. Every night we noticed that Dinky was making telephone calls, assuming that she was calling collect home. And we weren't trying to listen in. The telephone was in the dining area, and we were in the living room. Every night we read our Bibles and had devotion just like we always did with Dinky and Tammy around with us. After they left, but before they left, let me tell you this. I had one day, my wife and Dinky was going over. I told the couple, I call it the paint and body shop. They were going to the beauty shop that day. And so we took two cars to school because Tammy and I didn't want to wait for the old folks to get out of the beauty shop to go home. Besides, we had a deal that we had to settle at the grocery store. We wanted to get the kind of cereals that we like to eat without old people interfering with us. Furthermore, we had a little deal at the Dairy Queen we wanted to settle too without any interference from the old people. So we went by the Dairy Queen and got what we wanted from there. And as we drove away, I never asked them one question, why are you here, what the trouble is? Never one time, not one time, ask them. But we drove away from the Dairy Queen. Tammy said, Mr. B, my mother and my father had an awful fight. It was terrible. I looked out the window. I didn't want that little five-year-old girl seeing a grown man crying. I looked out the window. The most important people in her life were at each other's throats. Painted a picture in her mind she'll never forget as long as she lived. My mother and daddy are screaming at each other. They're calling each other bad names. They're having a fight right in front of me. And they're supposed to love me and love each other, and I love them. They left. Telephone bill came in. I noticed Dinky wasn't making those telephone calls collect. She was charging them to our number. Our telephone bill, zoom, went up. We decided we'll not say one word about the telephone bill. If they send us some money, fine. If they don't, it's still all right. $50 would be a very small fee to pay to keep a family together. Would you say amen to that? Very small amount of money. One night they called. My wife got on a different phone, and Clay and Dinky was on the phone by themselves. And Dinky said, Mr. B., what was that verse of scripture we were reading one night in our Bible study? We had a Bible study by long distance. And then we had a prayer meeting by long distance. I'll gladly spend $50 any day to keep a family together, to keep them healed and working together and loving each other. Would you do that also? Amen. Praise God. A family that prays together stays together. There's a fellow that went around a little country here some time ago bragging about, I am the greatest. You remember who that guy was? Me, Tarzan Eugene. I am the greatest. He got his block knocked off here not too long ago. Didn't get it knocked off as soon as I wanted it knocked off. Finally came. I never hear people saying, I'm stingy. I never hear people saying, I'm generous. I never hear people saying, I'm a warrior. I never hear people saying, I am the church's greatest critic. Now, I have been invited by pastors to go from different places, churches I've been and cities I've been. Well, I want to show you something. And we go and see buildings and churches and businesses and monuments. But never in my lifetime has anybody said, George, I want to take you and show you the greatest critic we have in our town. We erected a big monument to him the other day. I want to show it to you. We do not erect any monuments to critics. I heard about a pastor had one church that the fellow in the church criticized the pastor, he criticized the visiting minister, he criticized the minister of music, he criticized the youth pastor, he criticized the minister of education, he criticized the Sunday school superintendent, he criticized everybody in the church, deacon board, everybody. The pastor got even with him one Sunday morning. He said, Brother so-and-so, would you please stand and lead us in a word of criticism? You know? Much of our M's are on the negative side. Why don't we get on the positive side? Why can't we say, I am a child of God. I have been filled with God's Holy Spirit. I am on my way to heaven. Hallelujah, I'm saved. And the Church of God people in Pentecostal said, I am sanctified. And we Assembly of God people say, I am saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I love God. I love people. Amen. I love to be in the house of God on the Lord's day. And it is some pitiful some of the excuses that people offer for not being in the house of God on the Lord's day. I heard about two men out fishing one Sunday morning. And I wouldn't argue that you couldn't get as close to God on the bank fishing as you can in the house of God, but I just don't know of anybody who does. I wouldn't argue you couldn't get as close to God on the golf course on Sunday morning as you can in the house of God, but I just don't know of anyone who does. But these two men were out there fishing. One of them said, I feel bad out here fishing. I should be at church and Sunday school. And the other said, well, I should be too. He thought for a moment. He said, well, I couldn't go. My wife's sick. You know, lousy excuses. I'm healthy. I'm optimistic. You know, I think preachers sometimes, especially pastors, are the biggest hypocrites in the church. I really do. I don't mean they're living sinful, terrible, immoral lives. But, brother, they've got to have the victory, whether they have the victory or not. They may be so sick they ought to be in bed, but they got and knew you any good to tell them that. You can tell them that, but not for them to tell you that. Oh, they may be scared half to death, but they're acting like things are going great, great, man, alive, it's great, we're going on with God. Feel like the program is going to fail in spite of all they can do, but they believe it's going to work. Big hypocrites putting on a big front, and that's quite all right, quite all right. It's good to smile even though you're feeling bad, isn't that right? Good to tell your wife that you love her. You've read that in the book, haven't you? Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Women, let's all say that together, will you? Husbands, love your wives. Women, look at your husband and say that. Husbands, love your wife. That's right there in God's Word. Amen. 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 We're not going down there what it says that, you know, women are supposed to be. Just love your wife. Love your wife. Amen. Tell her every day that you love her. Tell her many times you love her. And it isn't bad for you to tell your husband that you love him.
Amen. If there's a leaky faucet in the place, just tell your husband about it. It isn't a big, big federal case. He goes out, turn the water on, then takes a little handle off, put a new washer in there, turn it back on. Then you can say, honey, I got the faucet fixed. It doesn't leak anymore. Now's the time for you to turn it on and say, darling, I'm so proud to be married to a man like you. You're nothing short of a genius. The greatest man in all the world. He'll probably hang his head, shrug his shoulder a little bit, say, any man could do that. But underneath that, he's saying, come on, baby, that sounds really good. Tell me some more. Tell me some more.
So many of us want to blame our problems on somebody else.
God, have you seen my wife lately? Have you seen my husband lately?
We don't accept the blame for ourselves. I got a number of clippings here, Danny, from Toronto Sun. People had automobile accidents, and they gave the reasons for why they had the accident. The other car collided with mine without giving warning of its intentions. I think when people are going to run into you, they'll let you know they're fixing to run into you. Hey, I'm fixing to get it, boy.
I was on my way to Cisco to speak to the ladies' night at the Lions Club going through Eastland, Texas, the county seat of Eastland County. I came to a traffic light. I saw a woman coming across, so I stopped. She saw that I was coming, so she stopped. I saw that she stopped, so I started. She saw that I stopped, so she started. And then I stopped when she started, and she stopped when I started. And then I started when she stopped, and then
my window was down, but found it was up when I put my hand through it. You're likely to discover that. I like this when the old boy wouldn't assume the responsibility for having the wreck at all. He said, a truck backed through my windshield into my wife's face. Wasn't his fault at all. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve several times before I could hit him. Actual prints from the Toronto Sun. I like this when I pulled away from the side of the road. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. One more. In my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. Now, friends, that is making a desperate effort to kill a poor little fly.
And a lie. No one wants to accept the responsibility. If you are going to have friends, you must accept full 100% responsibility of having friends. Brother Graham can't make friends for you. Pastor cannot make friends for you. Danny cannot make friends for you. You have to assume the full responsibility. He that hath friends must do what? Show himself friendly. You act like you've been baptized in a barrel of vinegar all your life. That's what you'll have around you, is gnats and flies and vinegar. Amen. Show yourself friendly. Be friendly to people. Amen.
It's a Roger Staubach story. A little town out in West Texas finally got enough equipment, enough men with enough fortitude, and enough boys that wanted to play football. The first game, the first quarterback got hurt. They sent in the second quarterback, and he got hurt. Just had one more. Coach sent in the third one. Said, now, son, I'm going to run you in. And you run the first play around the left end, the second play around the right end, the third play up the middle. And then you punt. Got it? He said, I got it. Tell it back to me. I'm going to run the first play around the left end, the second play around the right end, the third play up the middle, and I'm going to punt. Coach shoved him and said, see, you do it. Maybe by then we get one of these other quarterbacks revived. Kid called the first play, went around the left end, made 15 yards. Called the second play, went around the right end, made 20 yards. Third play, went up the middle and made it down to the one-yard line. What do you suppose he did? That's exactly right. He punted. Trotted over the sideline. The coach met him with a frown on his face and said, what in this world were you thinking about? He said, I was thinking what a dumb coach you are.
I guarantee you wish you hadn't asked that question.
Fritz Kreiler was playing a concert in Tulsa, Oklahoma many years ago. When the crowd thought he had finished, they stood and applauded and applauded. He finally got them quieted down, took the violin up over his head, and crushed it to the floor.
Some people screamed. Some fainted. Some people threw their binoculars over the balcony. When he got them quieted down, he said, "You thought that was my Stradivarius that I was playing a while ago." He kicked the rubble to the side with his feet. He said, "I bought that violin in one of your music stores here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, for $10. He motioned to a young man standing in the wing, and he came out holding a velvet cushion. And on the cushion, there was a violin. Fritz Creeler picked it up, drew the bow across the vibrating strings, and played his own composition, the last refrain. People stood and applauded. No one to deny this is Fritz Creeler playing the violin. Ladies and gentlemen, as George Brazel goes through this world, if he can just make a little music in somebody's life, amen, just a little music in somebody's life, praise God, it will be worth it all. I don't want to play the violin, so to speak, just to satisfy myself. Amen. But when a kid comes around, I said, "Thank you, Uncle George, for praying for me. Thank you for the letter you wrote me." I asked the kids at camp one night, "Let's pray for unsaved parents." I was fixing to leave. Shortly after I went home, I picked up the mail, and there was a letter from a kid that said, "Thank you, Uncle George. My mom and dad was the one I was praying for at camp. They went to church with me Sunday. Both of them got saved." Amen. Just make a little music in somebody's life. Praise God. First of all, begin that music making in the life of your own family. Your own family. Some men have dens and others just growl all over the house. Make music in your own family's life and then let that overflow into other people's lives. Oh, praise God forever. Make some music in somebody's life. Sam Yadley was running a center in Philadelphia many years ago. Rescue center. 16-year-old kid came in. Gave his heart to the Lord. And Sam talked to him a little bit. He told Sam, said, "I'd like to go home, but I can't. I can't afford to." "Why?" He said, "I stole some money out of the cash register, my father's business, when I left." Well, he said, "Let's just send him a telegram." They sent him a telegram. A little while, the telegram came back. And Sam called the teenage boy in his office. "Open this and read it." There were only three words in the telegram. "Come home, Father." Over 1,900 years ago, God Almighty dipped his pen of love in the blood of his own Son, Jesus Christ. And he wrote every one of us a letter. He sent every one of us a telegram. "Come home, Father." You might say, "I'm under guilt. I'm under condemnation. I'm worried. I'm fearful about my marriage, about my family, about my children, about my physical health, about my job, about finances." I have a message for you tonight from your Heavenly Father. This morning, come home, Father. Everything you need is there. Everything you need is there. Thank God for doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists and dentists and school teachers and everybody else, but you need him this morning more than anything else in this world. Glory to God. Come home. Come home. This morning, bring your burdens. Bring your condemnation. Bring your guilt. Bring your ill will you have against your husband, your wife, your children, or your parents. Come home. The Father stands with outstretched arms, ready to receive you. Amen. Have you sinned this week? If you got an ill feeling in your heart towards somebody, come home. Come home. He'll forgive you. Amen. You're worried about something? You have to take a lot of stuff to go to bed, to go to sleep? I want you to know the tranquilizing spirit of an almighty God. Get everything wiped away. Hallelujah. Wipe the slate clean. You could ask God anything in the world you want to know about George Brazel except one thing. He knows my downsittings, my uprisings, my feeling, my frame, and for he can tell how many hairs I have on my head. He knows my mailing address, my telephone number, my social security number. He knows my dimensions. He knows all about me. But there's one thing God does not know about me. If you ask him where George Brazel sins, he'd tell you, "Hey,
I don't know where they are.
I forgave them.
They're gone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mephibosheth received an invitation from the king and said, I want you to come and eat at my table just like my son. He said, I can't do it. I'm an ugly club foot. They'll see me, laugh at me, make fun of me. I can't do it. Then he got an idea. He said, I'll do it. And I'll let my garments reach down to the floor and nobody will know I'm an ugly club foot. And Mephibosheth went to the king's table and ate like his sons did.
Oh, there could have been a self-righteous committee appointed by themselves to crawl around on the table and lift up Mephibosheth's garment. Ah, look here, everybody. Mephibosheth is an ugly clubfoot. And if anybody wanted to do enough investigating and ask enough questions, they'd find something ugly about every one of you, including me.
But thank God I stand behind this sacred pulpit where many famous pastors have stood, ministers have stood. I'm so honored to be here. But I stand behind this sacred desk this morning, perfect tranquility, at peace with God and my fellow man, because the blood of Jesus Christ overflows and covers every ugly spot in my life. And if you try to get to me, you'll have to go through the blood. If you go through the blood, you'll be cleansed and you won't find anything ugly about me anyway. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. It's 12 o'clock, and I'm going to ask the pastor in a moment to come and pray a pastoral prayer just for you. Because I know there's no preacher on radio, television, in all the world is more concerned about your family, your spiritual life, than your own shepherd. Bow your heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that floods this sanctuary today. Oh, God, there's a riffle in a marriage here this morning. Settle that today, God. Settle that today. Oh, God, if there's any ill will in parents' hearts toward the children, settle that today, Lord. There are children here today that have ill will and bad feelings in their hearts toward their parents. Settle that today, Lord. Oh, God, let your blood, the blood of your own Son, Jesus Christ, flow down and cover all of our ugliness today. Elam o kotel Messiah. And help us to make music in somebody else's life. Christ's name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment. Just a moment. Just for a moment. Everyone very reverently, as a little distress signal, I wonder how many people raise your hand and say, I need help today. I need something from God today. Just take your hand up and take it right down, will you? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. God bless you, Bunny. Stand right now, if you will. Stand right now. And all of these, those of you, stand with me right now, if you will. Do you hear me? Stand up. Right now, everybody, please stand. Everybody, stand. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. I want those of you that raised your hand and those of you that want to join them right now as the choir sings or whatever they have prepared for us, I want you to come and stand here at the front. The pastor's going to pray for you this. Amen. Come right on. Come right on. Come right on. That's it. It doesn't make any difference what people say or think or believe. You just come on. You need something from God this day. Praise God. Man or woman. Boy or girl, saint or sinner, you come on. Come on. More than this, raise their hands. All of those who raised your hand, you needed something from God this morning. Come and stand right here in front of the altars, if you will. You need a little music in your life this morning. Come on. He'll give you a song. Praise God. Not near enough people are here yet. Come right on. That's it. That's it. You know somebody that has a broken heart this morning. Bring them with you, will you? Don't look around. It's none of your business who's coming. Amen. Praise God. You come on. There are more people than that need help today. Amen. You have a physical problem, a financial problem, a marital problem, a family problem, a social problem, a guilt problem. You come on. Whatever you need from God, come this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are others that need to be in the altar this morning. Just keep coming. Amen. Something you'd like to settle with the Lord today. Come on. Maybe it's something you should have done, you didn't do. You're just as guilty as anybody else. God asked you to do something and you refuse. You're guilty of disobeying God. So you come. What do you need from God? Come right on. Amen. They're still coming. Oh, thank God for this teenager this morning that's coming. Come and stand, if you will. Men, women, boys and girls. I need help from God today. I need a touch from God today. Hallelujah. I need a little music in my soul today. I want to help to make a little music in somebody else's life. We got plenty of time. Come right on. The pastor's going to come and pray, and then we're all going to pray. Others, just step right out. Come right on. Glory to God. They're still coming. They're still coming. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Anyone else want to come and join us this morning? Just as you are. I don't care if you're a man on the deacon board, you teach a Sunday school class, you have a need from God, come this morning. Praise God. Whoever you are, you need help from God today. Man has warned the woman's a few days and full of trouble. If you're having trouble of any kind, come right on. He's the trouble solver. Right on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We don't exclude anybody from the pastoral prayer this morning. Amen. You need help from God about any area of your life. Come this morning. Praise God. And those of you standing, will you join hands with someone right now? Join hands with somebody right now. Bow your head for silent prayer while our pastor comes to lead us and give us a pastoral prayer that's still coming.
Our Father, this morning we reach out to those who you have reached out to in this service and touched their lives. Not just made them aware of their need, but you have shown them hope for their life today. We reach out to them this morning in prayer in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who is our access to heaven. We just pray this morning for those that have maybe this week been suffering and badgered by the enemy of their soul. May there be healing this morning, a balm in Gilead unto their life. May they be helped this morning. May they find strength this morning. May they find restoration today. There may be those, Lord, standing here who's lost a loved one and buried a companion or a dad or a family member this week. We reach out to them this morning in love and we pray for them. We reach out to the families who've suffered loss this week through fire. We love them and we pray for help for them. We reach out to those, Lord, who may have been overcome by the evil one this week. We tell them with David, he restoreth our souls. I pray this morning, Lord, that the needy may find help in the Lord. The weak may find strength in Jesus. The sinner may find forgiveness this morning. There may be those here, Lord, who need a Savior. You said if we would come to you, you would receive us. We have come today. You said if we would call upon your name, you would save us. You said if we would confess our sins, you would forgive us. We come and call upon your name and confess this morning the needs of our life, the sins of our soul. We accept forgiveness for our lives today. We thank you, Lord, for these precious lives. Maybe there are others standing in this congregation today who've been battered this week by temptation, and their strength has grown weak today. I remind them, Lord, of your promises that you'd never allow us to go through something that you cannot carry us through. You will strengthen us if we will look to you. If we will flee to you, we can find refuge and victory for our souls. May you strengthen them and encourage them today. You told us to shun the very appearance of evil. You told us to resist the devil and he would flee from us, to draw nigh unto God and he would draw nigh unto us. We this morning, Lord, we draw nigh unto you in prayer. We draw nigh unto you in worship. We pray one for another that we may be healed mentally, physically, spiritually, we may be whole. We accept your love today. We accept your forgiveness today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift a hand with me to him and thank him this morning. We thank you this morning, Lord.